Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Once again, we're mighty, mighty thankful that you are here. And I pray that this message will be resounding, meaning there'll be an imprint in our heart that we can see this message, take heed to the things that we see, and then rejoice to what God has done for us. Did you know that there's always a way of escape? Whenever there's a predicament in life, and it seems like we've come to a dead end, we seem like there's no way out, He always finds a way out for us. Amen? Amen. So God is I'm telling you. And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we magnify you and glorify your name. Lord, I'm praying right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let me get your attention right up here on the screen. And if you have your cell phones, you can put them on the silent and off position. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, What Jesus Saved Us From. Saved us from. You know, I love to hear the testimonies that, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord and, you know, God has enriched my life. Or God had delivered me from drugs and alcohol, which is awesome. Those things are important to testify. But until you truly understand what He saved us from, you're going to have a different perspective on who He is. You see, one of the things I find over the past, or I found over in the past 38 years of walking with the Lord, is I've come across many wonderful believers, established very wonderful friends in church. But one thing that I saw that was a common denominator, it was a common fact, that there were some, a handful, that didn't truly understand the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And so this is why and this happens in all churches, you have those who you see on fire for God, and then you see those that you don't see on fire no more, and then they're back out in the world. One of the reasons why is they haven't have a true perspective of what God has saved them from. Until they find out what God has saved them from, let me just say this, they're going to have a paradigm change. They're going to have a whole different perspective. And I'm going to pray that this message will give us a whole different light on what God has done for the church, what God has done for us, and that God has delivered us from a place where we were all headed to. Despite of your status here on earth, you could have been a goody good two shoes or a drug addict, don't matter. One of the things that He did was He removed our sin, but you're going to see what He saved us from. What He saved us from. I'm going to use this wonderful guy that I read, Pastor Art has his book by Bill Wise. And he wrote a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. 23 Minutes in Hell. This guy kind of like dropped dead in a heart attack in his bedroom. And his wife had to call the ambulance. And for 23 minutes, he was dead. He wasn't a believer then. And God used this unbeliever to come back to tell others about this horrible place of torment. And so, without any further ado, let's get into the Word of God, and let's see what God has given us for this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 11 through 15. And it reads, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what? According to their works, by the things which were written in the books." Look at verse 13. Now we're going to go to verse 13. "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that who were in them." And they were what? They had a party? Judged. Who judged them? Who was the one that judged them? Jesus. Jesus judged them. Okay, now look at this. And they were what? They were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades. We're gonna look real close at this place called Hades. Were cast into the lake of fire. So death and Hades are two different entities. And they were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So in other words, God's going to open up the book of life. If your name is not found written, you will be cast into the lake of fire. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no grace and mercy at this point. Grace and mercy has been given to us here on earth. It's what we do with Jesus here on earth determines where you will end up in eternity. And so Bill Wise, who wrote the book, 23 Minutes in Hell, he went a little further on what he saw. Let me just say this. Every one of us have a lot of testimonies, right? Testimonies, what God has done for us. You guys know my testimony, how he delivered me from crystal meth and all that. Many of you have similar, or if not, a type of testimony to glorify God, to say, look what God has done for me. Right?
Yes.
Well, this man went a little further. He found an artist to draw the things that God showed him, that God had showed him, and that while he was being tormented. Okay. So he says, he wrote this in his book. We're going to read some excerpts from his book. But what he said was, when his body dropped dead in the bedroom, immediately his soul detached from his physical body, and then he was sucked down. He wasn't going up. And so this is the first thing he saw. He saw like this dark tunnel. He saw this tunnel that was sinking him down, and he was headed there. And then the end of this black tunnel, it looked like a volcano hole. And he was going down further. And as he was going down further, this is what he saw as well. He saw many being dropped down in that tunnel. He saw many falling into this tunnel. And he found out that these were people who thought they were saved, and unbelievers, people that never had no relationship with God, but they had all the Christian needs. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And then it got a little hotter as he kept going down into the abyss. And then he ended up at this place called Hades. Right here, watch. He said, I saw myself just tumbling into this burning furnace. We just read in Revelation that death and Hades is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But she, you know, as Christians, we read it and it just goes over our head. Okay, well. But until you get a visual. Until you get a visual. This is a real deal thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then there, then at the bottom are millions of them being tormented in there. And demons are ripping them apart. The vulgar, the hate they have for God, his flesh would be ripped apart and then it would grow back. And we're going to see in Scripture some other things that he saw. And so, let's look at this. It's a place of no escape according to the prophets. The prophets spoke of this place before Jesus came on the scene. Look at Isaiah right here. Isaiah 24, 22. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and will be shut up in prison. Many days they will be punished. It's going to be an eternal punishment there. And it was already prophesied. Look what Job said. Job 26, 6. Sheol, or Hades, or hell, it could go either way, is naked before him, before God, and destruction has no covering. God sees everything there. Look what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, and descending to the chambers of death. Who is he talking about here? Her. He names it. It's. You said it back there. It's a harlot. It's a harlot. And a harlot is what takes men to hell.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about a harlot. Well, guess what? There are a lot of harlots today. Oh, yes. Let's look at this right up here. These are the chambers that he saw. Different chambers in hell. And some can move around freely in the fire being burned up, and some are confined. And he said demons go in the confined places and rip them apart, and they're cursing God at the same time. They're going bleepity bleepity bleep, where's your God, where's your God, where's your God, bleepity bleep, bleepity bleep. He said he'd never heard so much foul things coming out of these demons' mouth. Because they hate God. They hate God with a passion. Here's another view of it. Now, look what Isaiah says. Isaiah says this. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to all flesh shall come to worship me, says the Lord. Verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me. Meaning, there is going to be a massacre of corpses before God that God's going to destroy because they were the enemy to the cross. For their worm does not die. I want you to, it's hard to visualize that. For their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched, and they shall be in an abhorrence to all flesh. Bill Wise saw this, and I'm going to show you in a few minutes what that looks like. But let's go to what Jesus mentions in Mark 9. Let's go here for a moment. Let's go to Mark 9. Now, I want you to catch this, because this is very critical here. This right here, what he says. This is Jesus' words that were transcribed by Mark. And it reads, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a milestone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea." I need you to catch that for a moment. How do you stumble someone to come to God? Well, guess what's doing that today? Hollywood and our music. The world is causing young kids to run from God, and they're filled with vulgar in their mind. Look at this. It says it would be like a millstone hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell into fire that shall never be quenched. Jesus, this is Jesus saying, going into a place of fire that will never be quenched. Yes, this is God, you know, oh, praise the Lord, he's grace, he's love. No, he's saying there's a place of eternal torment. Now look at verse 44, where their worm does not die. Again, Jesus talks about these worms. What's he talking about? The worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into where?
Hell.
Into hell. Into the fire that shall never be what? Quenched. Where their worm does not die. There's that worm again. Is he talking about the little worm that you see in a tequila bottle? What worm? And the fire that's not quenched. Look at verse 47. And if your eye causes you to sin, plug it out. You know what God is saying? Whatever you're involved in, this is simple. He's not telling you to pluck your eye. He's talking about a spiritual condition in your heart. If you're causing people to sin and you are sinning, then get what? Cut it out of your life.
Amen.
Or get dropped into hell. Cut it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye. Say, man, I'm glad I got rid of that junk, but I'm coming in like this. Look at this. Rather than have two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So he talks about this worm and this fire. Well, this is what Bill Wise saw. Look at the worms coming out of the mouth, all over the head, all over the body. These are people in hellfire. Worms all over them. Look what it says right there in that caption. Don't go to hell where the worms dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:40. This is what we're reading. Here's another close-up view. You see the worm coming out of the mouth and the head? Where the worm dieth not. It's eternal torment. No one's teaching this. They don't want to teach this in church.
Bring it, Pastor.
Come on.
They don't care who, you know what? Churches don't care who's going to hell.
Like, come on.
They just keep filling the cup with money. Mm-hmm. And so, I need you to look at it for a moment. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what he has saved us from.
Amen.
We were headed there.
Yes.
Wow. So question is, Something's happened here.
Come on.
Okay. What are these demons from hell? What are these demons from hell? What are they? How many know who John Piper is? John Piper. He's a powerful preacher. This is a quote from him, from John Piper. I know of no one who has overstated the terror of hell. We are meant to tremble and feel dread. We are meant to recoil from the reality. Not by denying it, but by fleeing from it into the arms of Jesus, who died to save us from it.
Amen.
He saved us from that horrible place. And today's society is trying to send people to hell. Remember, it's what you're seeing and what you're hearing that's convoluting the mind. Especially with this rap stuff, this vulgar stuff that's coming out of their mouth. It's keeping kids away from God. They're leaving that concert, bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And God is saying, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. But you got Pied Pipers out there. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Listen, if you're involved in that stuff, say, God, cut it out of me. Take it away from me. I don't want to have that. I don't want to go to hell with worms on me, burning forever. Because that's the ultimate punishment. From denying a child to come to Him. Hear me what I'm saying today. Bill Wise. This is from Bill Wise's excerpt from his book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Let's read this for a moment. I began to look around. This is when he was down there. Immediately, I realized that I was not alone in this cell. I saw two enormous beasts unlike anything I've ever seen before. These creatures were approximately 10 to 13 feet tall. Look at this. He says, these towering beasts were far, far beyond intimidating. It was one thing to be threatened by someone which much taller than you, but these creatures were not of this natural world. I recognized that they were entirely evil, and they were gazing at me with pure, unrestrained hatred, which completely paralyzed me with fear. Evil and terror stood before me. Those creatures were an intensely concentrated manifestation of those two forces. Look at this. The creatures weren't animals, but they were human. They weren't human either. Each giant beast resembled a reptile in appearance, but took on a human form. Look at this. The beast's arms and legs were unequal in length, out of proportion, without symmetry. The first one had bumps and scales all over its grotesque body. It had a huge protruding jaw, gigantic teeth, and large sunken eyes. And this is from 23 Minutes in Hell from Bill Wise. Then he goes on to say, I wanted desperately to get out and run, but as I lay on the wretched cell floor, I noticed that I had absolutely no strength in my body. I could barely move. Why didn't I have strength? I felt so defenseless. Two more creatures came into the cell, and I had the feeling these four beings had been assigned to me. I felt as though I was being sized up and that my torment would be their amusement. Wow. Look at this. As they entered, suddenly the light vanished. It became absolutely pitch black. I had no idea why the sudden and intense darkness had begun. But I sensed that the light that had been present had been an intrusion, and that the atmosphere had now returned to its normal state of darkness. The second beast, with his razor-like claws and sharp protruding fins, then grabbed me from behind in a bear hug. and it pressed me into its chest. Its sharp fins pierced my back. I felt like a rag doll in its clutches in comparison with his enormous size. He then reached around and plunged his claws into my chest and ripped them outward. My flesh hung from my body like ribbons as I fell against the cell floor. These creatures had no respect for human body, how remarkably it is made. I have always taken care of myself by eating right, exercising, staying in shape, but none of that mattered as my body was being destroyed right before my eyes. I knew I could not escape this torture via death, for not even that was an option. Death penetrated me, but eluded me. The creature seemed to derive pleasure in the pain and terror they inflicted upon me. Wow. He was in torment. And those photos that I showed you, he had an artist draw them up to describe what he experienced. Look at this. Reptilian looking. And you saw the little dungeons that I showed you. And then there's other areas. I'm going to show you in a few minutes. It's called the Map of Hell. I want everyone to get a copy. I made a copy for everyone. Did everyone get one? Okay. We're going to go through that on this big screen. And I made me a little pointer so we could go over here. Yeah, so it won't scratch the screen. You know, I was thinking ahead, saints. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Look at this. In the fire. Tormenting in the fire. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this. People all over the place. No escape. Once you're there, there is no escape. There's no one there to plead your case. You can't call your mom no more. You can't call nobody. You can't call your pastor. You can't call your drug buddy. No, you're there being in torment there forevermore. Look what Psalms 88:4 says. I am accounted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength. Remember, he said, I have no strength. Bill Wise in his book said, I have no strength. Well, King David knew about that because God gave him revelation of it. Adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. Wow. Another gentleman named Sinclair B. Ferguson. This is what he wrote. For hell is viewed by our Lord Jesus Christ not as made for man, but made for the devil and his angels. Humans as such were made for fellowship with God and for eternal glory. That such creatures should be banished forever into the outer darkness with no escape exit should fill us with a sense of horror. That should fill us with a sense of horror that God is going to send people and drop them in that place. As well, that are not found in the book of life. Look at Lamentations 3:1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. Look at this, verse 6. He has set me in the dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. No escape. There's no escape from this place. Once the verdict has been given, it's like put a fork in it. You're done. Look at this. In Psalms 116:3, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow all day long. Now, one of the things that we're going to read now is Jesus has authority over death, hell, and the grave. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And he has authority over demons.
Yes.
These same demons that we see in here, he's got authority over them, right?
Amen.
One of the reasons why he had to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, because that's where the Gentiles on that side, where they were raising hogs and pigs, which was not kosher for Jews. And that's where Satan set up his camp. So Jesus had to come to confront the man that was what? Demon possessed? And what did Jesus say when he asked him, "Who are you?" And what did the demon say?
"We are many.
We are legions. We are many." You know what a you know how many is in a legion? 6,000. So there was 6,000 demons in this one man. Legions. Wow. Let's look at this. Then they came to the other side of the sea, which is the Sea of Galilee, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there he met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This guy who was demon-filled, he would cut himself. He would break the chains. They had to put him on that side of the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because they didn't want him in this town. So at night, he'd be crying out. He'd be cutting himself. He was tormenting. The demons were tormenting him. Look at this. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one can bind him. No one can pin this guy down. Not even with chains. Look at this. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him. And the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone, what? Tame him. And always, what? Night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs. Crying out. Cutting himself with stones. Man. The guy was just like in torment. Look at verse 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. It wasn't a man worshipping him now. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The demons know who Jesus is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When people see the anointing on you, the demons know who we are. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Because we'll walk into a room.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we'll light up the place with truth.
Yes. Amen.
With anointing.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Jesus had to show up to show, "I'm in town. I'm the new sheriff."
That's right.
Hallelujah. There's a new sheriff in town.
Sheriff.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. He goes, "So what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said, "Come out of that man, unclean spirit." And then he asked, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So I found out. I did a word study. Legion is a 6,000 men. 6,000 Romans was a legion. So there were 6,000 demons in there. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the what? Country. So we all know the end of that story. He sent them into the pigs. And then 2,000 pigs fell off the cliff. And so we have to come to an understanding that this is how these demons, when they see Jesus, they do this. Look at that. They bow to him. They bow to him. And what they didn't want What they did not want was to be sent to the abyss yet. So Jesus, okay, I won't send you there yet. He sent them to the pigs and then destroyed them. He destroyed them. Look at Matthew up here. We're going to look now. It's a place of eternal torment. That little map that I gave you, who didn't get a map? Who else didn't get one? Yolanda's going to get one for you guys. You guys keep it in your Bible as a reminder, because it's a map of hell. And it's all scriptural. And we're going to go over that in more depthly. Look at this. Let's read Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes into His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Who are the goats? The unbelievers. The sinners. All those that are not born again. And the ones on the right are the born again believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that will sit on His right. Can I get an amen? We understand that? Okay, now look at verse 34. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you what? Came to me." Look at verse 37. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." You see, what God was saying is, as believers, we're called to be servants. We're called to serve. We're called to build up. We're called to lift up. We're called to share, to testify about God's goodness. We're come to bless those who do not know God. Can I get amen? Amen. We are to testify what God has done in our life so that they would have a hope. They would have a hope too. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now look at this. Then He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Look at verse 44. Then they will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, naked or sick, and do not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of them, you did not do it to me." And these will go away, just say goodbye? No, they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Come on, this is where you got to give God a shout. Thank you, God. We're not going to that place of torment. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He has saved us by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Look what Luke wrote about this. I need you to catch this now, because we're going to do, this is where we're going to kind of like break down this map in a few minutes. Okay, this is a key parable right here. You got to really get a hold of this. I was sharing this with Pastor Art, and he goes, "Oh, I see it now." Look at this. Now, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came in and licked his sores. Wow. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to where? I want you to get a hold. Just remember that. Abraham's bosom. He didn't carry him into heaven. He carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now look at this. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades. So one went into Abraham's bosom, the other one went into Hades, which is hell. And he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So those in hell has eyes to see what God has prepared for us. And Abraham's bosom was temporary. But look at this. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He's still demanding that this beggar come do something for this rich man. Still trying to bark out orders. Look at that. He cried and said, Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue with just a drop of water. This is the torment this man was receiving in Hades. Look at this. The tip of his finger in water that will cool off my tongue. For I am tormented in what? This flame. Wow. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember in your lifetime, you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, meaning there's a chasm that separates paradise from Hades. Okay? And look how Jesus describes this place. He goes, it says right here, between us and there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. Nor can those from there pass to us. In other words, you're there forever and you're there over there forever. You can't pass. You can't crisscross. You can't get a ticket. You can't get a bus ride. You can't get a plane ride. You're either tormented or you're in paradise. There's no in between. And look at this. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Why would he want someone to go to his father's house? Look at this. For I have five brothers, that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So he's saying, go to my father's house. Tell them about this place. Tell them what I'm suffering right now. Look how Jesus answers this. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who has risen from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus has risen from the dead 2,000 years ago, yet there are still people like that man, the rich man ruler, that are being tormented right now. Why? Because they refuse to repent. And so, a lot of them will say, well, who cares about this guy who rose from the dead? Who cares? What did that have to do with me? I'm glad you found God. That was good. That was good for you. You needed God. Yes. Jesus, help us. So now that we've been speaking about this topic, where is hell located? Where's it located? I'm going to show you some Greek and Hebrew point of views, or you'll find it in the study. And then we're going to look at this map. And we're going to break it down on the map. Because it's a literally real place. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Okay. In Hebrew, it's called Sheol, often translated as the grave or the pit. It is a general term for the abode of the dead, the one that had died physically but yet still alive spiritually. And then it's called Hades, which is a Greek term. Similar to Sheol, it refers to the underworld or the place of the dead. Okay? Then there's Gehenna. Jesus talked about Gehenna many times. Used by Jesus to depict hell, it draws on the imagery of the Valley of Hinnom, a place of burning refuse. Okay, Gehenna, we've been there in Israel. And when you go to Jerusalem, there's a valley called the Valley of Gehenna. Why did Jesus call that little area cursed? Because that's where they were doing their abortions there. They were basically burning their kids in the fire to Molech, right there. And Jesus cursed it and called it Gehenna. Wow. And let me tell you, man, we all think that Jesus is love and grace, which he is. He's merciful. Yes, he is. But he's coming back as a judge.
Amen.
He's not coming back as the, oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. No, he's coming back to judge.
Amen.
And to take vengeance on all the sinners and evildoers. Look at this. It's Tartarus, a Greek word, used in 2 Peter to describe a deep abyss where certain angels are imprisoned. Okay, so now, remember, Abraham said Jesus said there's a chasm, there's a split, right? There's an in-between. There's one side, like paradise, the one side is hell. Look at this. It's a chasm. Now, now we're going to break it down. Up here, when Jesus died, the Bible says for 3 days, he went into hell. He came here, because this is where Lazarus was. This is Abraham's bosom. Here's the scriptures, Luke 16:22, Luke 23. All the saints in the Old Testament, all of them, all the righteous of God was in paradise here in the earth. Okay, they weren't in heaven. Okay. And then those who died in their sin or they were unrighteous, they're here in a place called torment. Here's the gulf. Here's the chasm. It's fixed and uncrossable. And you find that in Luke 16:26. So here is where unbelievers, sinners, backsliders, all those who refuse to get right with God, when they die in that condition, they're thrown into the lake of, to the tormenting place. And it's called the conscience suffering. And right now, the Bible says hell is enlarging itself. Because many are dropped in there every day. Okay. So when Jesus died, he came straight here. And what did he do here? They who prophesied of the Messiah to come, they couldn't wait to see the day that he would shed his blood for them. So he applied the blood here. And then he took them all into heaven. That's why you see in Scripture that that they were coming out of their graves, remember? Because he was taking them all from this place. Because now heaven was open now. And now today, when we die, we go immediately there. We don't go to the underground no more. But this place right here is where they're being tormented right now as we speak. This is a literal place of torment. These are people that are so rebellious to God. And you know how you can tell the way they live their life, the way their mindset is, their deception. Some of them are self-deceived. A lot of, you know how you could tell some? Their language. Their language. Man, I've been around. I'll come into a group of people and we're just talking, just meet them for the first time, and then you'll see cursing words come out. Ain't no Holy Ghost in there. Ain't no Holy Ghost in there. Because light and darkness don't mix. When God comes in, the dark has to go.
Yes, amen.
And God fills you with the light of the Lord, with the love of God. And so what is manifested from a true believer? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, and grace.
Amen.
You want to hear this bleepity bleep 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 bleep. And these are all the folks that are being tormented right now. Now, this Tartarus, you find it in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. These were the fallen angels that went into the women back in Genesis. And God changed, they're now chained. They're bound here in Tartarus. Okay? This, when Jesus comes and takes us home, right? Okay? And the thousand-year millennial reign where we're going to rule and reign with him, this is where Satan, the false prophet, is going to be chained here for 1,000 years. Okay? But then, for a moment, he's going to be let loose again to deceive the world. Then, after all that has done, 1,000 years have gone by, then the great white throne judgment. That's where death and Hades is going to stand before him. And then here's the final end game. Second death, final permanent. It's also called Gehenna. Jesus' word from the valley of Hinnom in Mark 9. This is where the false prophet, this is where the Antichrist, and all those who are not found in the book of life are going to be cast into the lake of fire. All this is right here in the center of the earth. Can you notice the core is the hottest place of the earth? This is where it's at. That's why God didn't send them here. Those who died before the crucifixion, all the saints were here, and then he came and applied his blood, and they all went with him. And now we're going to look at some wonderful places.
Amen.
Now we're going to look at some. Is anybody getting something out of this message?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
So look at this. It's a place of torment, right? Now, but Jesus, look at this. Demons, they'll torment, they just torment you day and night. Night and day. It's a place of torment. We saw this photo already. But they're in there roasting. And they're not, they don't have carne asada on the grill over there. Mm-mm. There's one right there with worms on the side of his head. Yelling, screaming,
oh
screaming.
Gnashing of teeth.
Gnashing of teeth. That's the gnashing of teeth. So, we must understand, and that's a bigger view of hell. This is not the lake of fire. This is that place I showed you where right now they're all being gathered. And they're being tormented. Until the lake of fire, until they're dropped in. So, Jesus will return to vindicate us and judge the unrighteous. He will judge the unrighteous. Look at 2 Thessalonians right here. We're going to go there. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what?
Worthy.
Worthy. Say that with me. Worthy.
Worthy.
Worthy of the kingdom of God. We need to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See, he's going to come with his mighty angels and with the saints. Look at this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Here's one thing that we have to do, that God will give us great discernment. We cannot look at a person, friend, family, acquaintance, and think they may or may not be saved. That's God to determine. We can't put that label on them. Oh, they're saved, but you know, they're writing their testimony. No. If you're truly saved, you will learn the fear of God.
Amen.
And you will learn to honor him.
Yes,
and embrace him and don't let him go. Because that's what God will count you worthy. Why? Because you're not letting go even through your faults and failures. Even in your face plants where he picks you up on the ground. He says, continue to follow me.
Yes.
We're not perfect. But we're blessed. Hallelujah, we're blessed. We're blessed. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day. Notice capital D, the day of the Lord, to be glorified in his saints. That's you and I. Turn to your neighbor. That's you.
That's you.
We are the saints of God. That's why I always greet everybody. Praise the Lord, saints. We're the saints of God.
Hallelujah.
And to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was what? Believe. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now look at Jude. Jude 14, verse 15. Oh, 14 and 15. There's only one chapter.
Yeah.
Look at this. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints.
Woo!
Woo!
Hallelujah.
So you gotta look at this. This is after the rapture has taken place, and now all the saints are with him.
Amen.
And now the 7-year tribulation is taking place on the earth. Then at the end of the tribulation, we're coming back with him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
To battle.
Yes.
Armageddon. Thank you, God. Look at this. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment and all to convict who are ungodly among them of all ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. Wow. Thank you, God. He's coming back like this. One of those horses is yours. It has your name on it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Here's another photo of it.
Oh, the glorious day. Hallelujah.
This is after we celebrated the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're with him there for those 7 years in glory. And then we're coming back with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And God is going to destroy every ungodly unbeliever and those who thought they were saved, who are still there. If they're still there, they thought they were saved. I remember our brother Dale preached a message when we had a men's study years ago. He called it their name tag Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Brother so and so. Their elder so and so. You know, whatever they elder, the elder that. But don't even know who God is. Living a life, a dual life, a life unpleasing to God. They go home, they kick the dog, and they curse out the wife. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Now, we've seen those gruesome places of torment. Now, let's look at some things that are beautiful to the eyes. Can I get
amen?
Because God's going to make all things beautiful. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's making your life beautiful. I hope you know that. He's transforming you right now. You're not the same as you once were.
No.
Oh, come on.
Come on,
We were talking about that at the men's ministry Tuesday night. Man, we're not the same as we once were. As a matter of fact, you didn't want to know what's back in the day. One little hard look and what up? Let's look at Revelation. Let's go to Revelation here. God's home for his people. God has made a home for us. Did you know that? He's made a home for us. Let's read Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. You better get your sushi in now. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. How many can't wait for that moment? Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And when we finally get there, it's going to be a glorious place. It's going to be a glorious place. Hallelujah. Look at all the saints with their robes on. Hallelujah. He's going to wash clean. Hallelujah. Worshiping him. Hallelujah. There's not going to be any bleepity bleepity bleep in there. Hallelujah. It's going to be, man, what he intended. He's going to have buildings every place made with a glass type of things. What Bill Weiss saw. Because he was also a glimpse of heaven. Hallelujah. Look at this. Places we're going to be in white robes. And we're going to be walking around places that we didn't build with our hands. We didn't build none of these. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. None of us, hallelujah, deserved any of this. But yet he said, I've given them to you, my children. Look at the throne room. We'll be able to go to the throne room. The Bible says that the lightning will come to his throne. Hallelujah. And the glass sea in front of his throne. Hallelujah. It's going to be a place of heavenly bliss. Just imagine the presence of the power of God is going to permeate through you. See, when you first get saved, you get a little teaspoon of the Holy Ghost. You're going to experience all of his glory without disintegrating. Because we're going to have a body like his.
Amen.
We'll be able to enjoy, hallelujah, heaven in its fullest. How many can't wait for that place?
Can't wait.
Huh?
Can't wait.
Or do you want to go to that Hades place?
No.
Huh? No. Look at the gardens everywhere. Gardens everywhere. Gardens everywhere. And I close with this scripture here. I close with this scripture. It's found John 14, 1 through 4. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what?
Many
mansions. If it were not so, I would have what? Told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way, and you know. So this is what he's prepared for us. A house, a mansion, that's not prepared by human hands. It's the architecture up there, it's totally different from ours. And there is no sin here. There's no darkness. His His glory will light up all of heaven. My goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, Rancho Santa Fe has nothing on these. Come on, come on. Give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy. My heart cry right now is pleading out, crying out to those who have logged in on Facebook and YouTube. We greet you, by the way. And I hope you endured the whole message, because the end game is what he has prepared for us, to those who love him. I believe everyone in here loves him. You wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning listening to this preacher if you didn't love Jesus. Because he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And while we still have breath in our lungs, we need to proclaim who he is in our life. Continue to testify his goodness. Continue to tell people about Jesus. Tell them that he's coming soon. Tell them that there is still hope for you. But you got to surrender. You got to give your heart to him. And if you're there watching right now, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here with me to pray a simple prayer, that you too can enter into that blood covenant with God by his blood, by a heart of repentance, by asking God for mercy and grace to forgive you for every sin. Because that's what God does. He'll take his supernatural eraser and erase away all your sins. Yeah. And you know what I love about what God said? He remembers our sin no more. He's not like us. We could remind everybody, oh, man, I remember what you used to do. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. God said, I will never do that to you. And he doesn't. He goes, I have casted your sins as far as the east is from the west. And if you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you need your sins forgiven, and ask God to give you the Spirit of God that comes from heaven, and be born again, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, come on, is he worthy? Yes, he is so worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.